My name is Emma, and you're listening to a podcast by Allied Grain Systems. This series is dedicated to the great people who we have the pleasure of working with every day, our mates in grain. We share the stories, everyday challenges, the quiet wins and pockets of joy that come from the job we know and love, working and living in grain. Joining us today is Kayla Evans. Kayla runs the Commonwealth-funded National Gap Year Program Ag Careers Start, which connects young people looking to kickstart their career in the sector with host farmers. Kayla is determined to create a movement of young people who change the world of agriculture. All right, so Kayla, thanks so much for coming on the Allied Grain Systems podcast today. So excited to chat to you about all your wisdom.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that, but thank you very much for having me.
No worries. So I guess I wanted to start with your, you know, upbringing and childhood. Were you raised on a farm?
I was not born, but raised on a mixed cattle and grain property on the Darling Downs. My family purchased the property before my first birthday. So my family are first generation farmers.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. A lot of the farmers I normally talk to are sort of like sixth generation or whatever. So what was it sort of like trying it firsthand? Do you have memories of, you know, your parents having to sort of figure it out and the challenges?
Yeah, certainly a lot of challenges. There was a lot of house renovations is what I remember from that time. But yeah, certainly it's been, I know they would say, a lot of trial and error and a massive learning journey. But I know certainly my grandfather, who has been really involved, it's been his baby and it's something he wanted to do for a really long time. And it rubbed off certainly that love of agriculture on my sister and I growing up.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned it was a mixed operation with cropping. What kind of crops did you have?
Summer and winter grain. So in that area of the Darling Downs, primarily sorghum, wheat, barley, mung beans, you name it.
Yeah. And what would you say was the best part of sort of that growing up?
You know, in hindsight, there's really not a better childhood than growing up on a farm. You know, just the really strong values that I think my sister and I both have, our work ethic, all comes from the time we spent growing up on the farm, just pitching in and helping out. We all joke about how much we hated rock picking growing up, but it's certainly the foundation for good resilience in life, I think. So yeah, just helping out. At some point along the line, my uncle had this great idea to acquire some red deer as sort of like a hobby or something different to try. And they're more paddock ornaments these days, but it's just some interesting fun things we've tried along the way and been able to be a part of. I think that real journey of learning and trying different things and failing forward, that's probably rubbed off on me for sure.
Yeah, awesome. So then, you know, when you went through your schooling and got to sort of year 12, where did you go next? And was it in ag or did you step away into something sort of different?
Yeah, so like many, I suppose, rural kids, I went off to boarding school for year 11 and 12. I think I've always been a very upwardly mobile person since I was really young, high achiever at school, and just had big dreams of, I didn't know what, but just big and better and amazing. And what I knew about the industry at that time was that that didn't align with my view of agriculture. And I think, you know, you do really well at school and it's the classic sort of careers conversation you have about becoming,
you better go be a lawyer.
Or a doctor or a vet, I wanted to be at one point in time. And so, yeah, all the way sort of through my high school years, I had very strong intentions to go into the medical field. And, you know, I applied to go to university, got a scholarship to go study biomedical science. But I knew at that point in time, like I had studied so hard for so long, I knew I wasn't ready to go straight to uni. So I actually took a gap year and I did my gap year program in the Royal Australian Navy.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
When I look back on my life so far, like that has to have been the biggest pivot in my trajectory and certainly what put me on the path today. That year was just so formative and, you know, I really figured out who I was and what I wanted in life. And I realized then that sort of this pathway of going down 6, 7, 8 years, potentially further study. And I wasn't even sure that that was 100% what I wanted to do. It was kind of just like always had been the plan.
It's a huge commitment.
Absolutely. I rang Mum one day and I just said, Mum, I'm going to cancel my place in biomedical science. And of course, I'm sure not to me, but she certainly would have freaked out about
internal panic a little bit,
throwing my life away. But a couple of months after that, I signed up to do public relations at university. Being really passionate person. I felt like public relations was something that really aligned with who I was. And also I just have always loved sort of communication and writing and the art of communicating with other people. So that felt like a really good alignment for me. And so, yeah, I left, finished my gap year program, moved to Western Australia to study public relations. And then I worked in internal communications for a while, public relations. I also did human resources management when I was at uni as well. And then transitioned from internal comms into a role in business development and recruitment at a university. And then that's where the pathway space really smacked me in the face as something that was just where I really felt like I was finding value in what I was doing every day. And yes, I've kind of been working in that pathway space ever since then. But my first foray back into ag was managing sort of a career and pathway program in the grain industry over in WA. And I remember when I saw that job ad just going, oh my gosh, that's me. They were looking for someone sort of with ag knowledge who also understood the tertiary sector, had a comms background.
It sounds like this trajectory was like slowly building over time. Like you had the gap year pivotal moment where you were at a crossroads and then working for a university, and it all sort of perfectly led you to getting into the ag career start, which can you sort of describe what that program is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very passionate and excited about running the gap year program at the National Farmers Federation. So, and that's called Ag Career Start. It's a funded program. So we got $5.2 million from federal government to put 200 young Australians on farm nationally. And we have been doing that since the start of last year. Now we're on to our second cohort. I work with a team of two other people here at the NFF, and it's just been absolutely fantastic. We have watched young people who've never stepped foot on a farm just commence their agricultural journeys and just embarking on their own careers now, which is so exciting.
Yeah, and like I sort of said before, I feel like we sort of have this idea in our head of farmers that it's, you know, this sixth generation farmer who was always destined for it. But it's so awesome to hear that people that have never had any experience with farms are getting their opportunity to have a crack.
Absolutely. I think having observed and been a part of this space for a little while now, I think the one thing I would say to farmers is that there are young people who want to work in ag. This narrative that people don't want to work in ag, in my mind, we can throw it in the bin, because it's not that they don't want to, it's that they don't know how.
And particularly if you didn't grow up on a farm and have those connections, it seems a bit impossible to get stuck into.
Absolutely. And more than that, I think we have a bit of maybe an attitude in this industry that it's too hard to teach someone, or that they don't have a passion for it, therefore they don't want to give it a go. And I think when we lead with that mentality, it's just not successful for anybody, and it will just require a huge amount of effort and time and investment in these young people. But what this program is showing us is that when you do, they just flourish and they're just really looking for someone to give them a go.
Yeah, definitely. And how does it sort of work? So there's farmers that have to sign up to participate, and then there's the young people that apply, and you guys do a bit of like matchmaking, don't you?
We absolutely do. Our own version of Farmer Wants a Farmhand. So like you mentioned, so we have our host farmers apply to the program and our participants also apply to the program. And then we do quite a rigorous matching process, aligning what the young applicants are looking for around what industry type they're looking to work in, what location they're happy to work in, and also just some of their broader stuff around their career goals. And we take that information and we do screenings with all our host farmers to figure out what it is that they're looking for and who would be suitable on their property. And then we, in the background, do some of that matching. And then our host farmers get to have an interview with their candidate and then make the ultimate decision whether or not to employ them on their property.
Yeah, wow. And have you had a lot of applicants and, on the other hand, farmers willing to participate? Is it gaining sort of traction?
Yeah, so we've only done our second recruitment period for sort of this intake, and already absolutely thrilled with in terms of the participant application numbers. We actually surprisingly have had a bit of a challenge finding farmers who are sort of ready and in this space to take on someone young and green and have the capacity to mentor. And it's absolutely not for everybody. Certainly we had a lot of candidates putting livestock industries as their first preference, which I don't think is too surprising to anyone, but we certainly never have enough livestock producers in the program, but also just we need variety in our farmer applications because we just have such a diverse candidate pool. And so it helps us when we have options to match with. So always, always welcome more host farmers. Certainly the eastern states have been dominating our placement numbers this last 2 years. So it'd be good to get some diversity nationally as well.
Yeah, definitely. And if our allied grain systems audience is listening and, you know, particularly a lot of them are grain and cattle farmers, what kind of things do they need to do to participate? Is it just literally being able to hire this young person? Does the young person have to do like a formal sort of training certificate, or is it really just have them on and show them the way every day for a year?
So first things first, you have to be able to employ someone full-time at or above award level wages. So the wages through the program aren't subsidized. Our host farmers pay a full wage. You do not have to provide accommodation, although that is absolutely always desired. So that's the first thing. Second thing is you have to submit an application. When you do have to sit a screening with us where we'll talk about the safety and culture on your farm, just to get a good idea of what it's like, and also just make sure you've got some of those things in place that you really should have when employing someone, particularly someone young. Then our host farmers do have to run through an on-farm induction, safety induction with all of our participants. We provide a template for that. So we give you, I suppose, the guidebook on how to do that. And then once that's completed, our host farmers do get a $2,000 farm safety incentive payment for completing that one. And then the participants all get access to a $4,500 training bursary each that they can use throughout the year. Now, we don't prescribe any training in this program. It's very much a user-led journey. And our participants will meet with our training and career development coordinator multiple times throughout the year to really develop out that individualized training plan along the lines of where are their skills gaps on their current farm, but also what are their career goals long-term. And our farmers definitely can have quite a strong input into that training plan if they would like to as well. So it's a very holistic program. And then of course, our participants and our host farmers too get access to a pastoral support network in our team. So we're always available to have a chat if things are going wrong.
Awesome. And if, you know, farmers are on the fence and not sure, what would your elevator pitch to them be about why it can be so awesome and, you know, the benefits they can get out of it?
First of all, there's the nuts and bolts around getting access to a workforce that you wouldn't typically get access to. So we do all the hard work of recruitment. So let us take that hard part off your hands. Second to that, there's nothing more fulfilling. And you could talk to any one of our host farmers about this. Nothing more fulfilling than taking someone brand new to the industry and watching them flourish across their 12 months on farm with you. And the good news for anyone thinking about embarking on this journey with us is that at this point in time, more than half of our cohort from last year are actually still on their host farms where they went today. So they've secured long-term employment on farm. These are not just kids who are looking for just a gap year. Some are, certainly, but it is definitely an avenue as well for securing yourself someone who's going to be a really integral part of your business moving forward.
Definitely. And just to touch on the grain placements, you have them sort of all over New South Wales and sort of around the Young area. Is that right?
Yes, spread far and wide. So we have quite a pocket of grains producers up in northern New South Wales around sort of like the Moree area. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, we've got a few more centrally around Dubbo. Like I said, spread far and wide. We've got 24 placements in New South Wales this year. So, and the bulk of those are either grain or cotton producers.
And what makes a good application for if there's young people out there that want to get involved?
So it's not competitive in terms of academia or extracurriculars, but we are looking for people who can really demonstrate their enthusiasm for wanting to get into the agricultural industry. So when participants apply to the program, they have to submit a statement of intent, and that statement of intent really should convince us why a young person would be wanting to work in agriculture, at least for the short term, and also demonstrate to us that you've thought about what you want to get out of your gap year on the program. So those are the two really important things. Stay engaged with us when we give you a call and we offer you a placement. Make sure you're ready to have a really good conversation about what that would look like.
And when have they got to do that until? When do they close?
Host farm applications are currently open. Participant applications won't open until the 14th of August. but both host farmer and participant applications will close on October 15th. So we've still got a little while, but those applications for participants especially opening in August.
Fantastic. And I also wanted to touch on your podcast. You have a podcast called Generation Ag. Can you tell me what that's all about?
Yeah, so that's been kicking along now for a good couple of years, about 3 years. I've been working on that with my co-host and friend and colleague, Lavinia Ware. We, as two young people in the ag industry, were together at a conference a number of years ago and we're just lamenting about how we didn't feel like there was enough connecting young people in agriculture. And that was how the podcast was born. By and large, we interview young people who are doing amazing things in the agriculture industry. We're, like I said, 3 years in, 160 odd episodes strong now. And it's just so cool to be able to tell the stories of young people who are doing amazing things and put them up on a pedestal and just celebrate the wins that they've had so far.
Yeah, definitely. And I've taken a little look. It's sort of about connecting with other people in the industry, and that really leans into sort of what we're about at Allied with our Mates in Grain blog and sort of wanting to showcase that. How important do you think it is, you know, sort of relying on those fellow colleagues and mates in the industry? It's pretty special.
It's so important. And I think, you know, you was bang on about networks, but I just think you can't underestimate the value of your network and what it can bring to you. And I know certainly that my network's paid dividends in my career, and whether that be professionally, but also personally as well. There are some amazing people who are working in agriculture, and it's so cool to work nationally and have friends in every state to call upon for advice or ask questions, or when an issue comes up, to really use them as a sounding board. I think your network and your community are your greatest asset.
Perfect. And what advice would you give to a young person sort of starting out in the industry?
That's a hard one. There's a lot of advice I'd love to give. The first thing to say is don't get ahead of yourself in trying to figure it all out right now. Just take the first step, because the longer I've been in ag, the longer I realize this is a massive industry and you have no idea what's out there for you and you're just scratching the surface. So just take the first step. Try not to get ahead of yourself in figuring out your whole career path right away.
Perfect. I think that sums it up. You've just got to start and have a crack.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And a quick note, where can people find more of what you do if they want to listen to the podcast or check out the website? Where do they do that?
Yeah, so for everything Ag Career Start, you can go to the website. It's just www.agcareerstart.com.au. It's all one word. And then for myself personally, you can always hit me up on LinkedIn. That's usually where I'm most communicative. And also Generation Ag is on all the socials. So generation.ag, if you head to Instagram, you can find us over there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you.